for the sixth straight year, the U.S. birth rate declined in 2020, this time by 4%. In December, about 9 months after the start of the pandemic, births had declined by about 8% compared with the December of the year prior. It's not just the pandemic. This year's numbers appear to be a part of an ongoing trend. But why? You could join in at 800-642-1234. If you're at a stage in your life where having kids is something you're thinking about, what is the decision process like for you? And no matter where you are right now, if you chose to have kids or chose not to, tell us what went into that. Did you ever have doubts? If you're a young person, are you hoping or planning to have kids someday? Why not? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Christine Whelan is a clinical professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, where she teaches classes on happiness and well-being, and is also the founding director of the Money, Relationships, and Equality Initiative. She's a speaker and author of several books, including a new audiobook, Finding Your Purpose. Christine, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
I've seen a lot of really simple answers, Christine, to the decline in birth rates in the United States. I'm guessing it's more complicated than any one answer, though. What do you think?
Absolutely. We're all an experiment of one. And so while we can see some big trends historically, and we certainly can see some trends in the last year, the choice to have a child is a sign of hope for the future. And, you know, everything from the global pandemic to economic issues to people's individual choice, it may not always be a time of optimism.
There was some speculation early on in the pandemic that there could be a baby boom coming out of it. I guess we didn't have anything better to do, weren't going anywhere. Maybe we would take this time to settle down and have kids. That doesn't clearly seem to have panned out, at least according to the early results. And people have pointed out there are a lot of reasons that it might not have worked out that way. Can you look at that balance?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as I was joking with people at the time, you know, we're all on top of each other, but not in the way that makes babies during those early months of the pandemic. And the truth is that when there is a fear of contagion, when there is a fear of something scary out there that we don't understand, that tends not to be the time when people think it's a great idea to bring new life into the world. So people were delaying having kids. Anybody who was needing assisted reproductive technologies to have their kid could not do that during the months of the lockdown. So we see a sort of decline in the birth rate, a huge one, really, an 8% decline in the month of December of 2020. But really, we're looking right now at the lowest birth rate since 1979. So this is not just a pandemic issue.
Do you look at a declining birth rate and see a value judgment in that? Is this good news or bad news, Christine, or is it what we make of it?
Well, it is what we make of it. So one good thing is that teen birth rates are down. They're down 63% since 2007. And that generally, most people can agree, is a good thing. Women are also having kids a lot later. The average age at first birth now is 27, which is really up a lot, substantially from where it was in 2010. It was at 23 just 11 years ago. So we see average age at first birth increasing dramatically. And you could say that that's a good thing if people are more financially able to support a child and are doing it at a time where they feel like they're really welcoming and ready to add a new addition to their family.
Talking to Christine Whelan from the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, looking at declining birth rates in the United States. December to December last year, a pretty big drop during the pandemic, but it's not just a pandemic story. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on this, with your questions, maybe your own experience on making the decision whether or not to have kids in the last year, in the last 10 years, or at any point in your life. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Christine, pre-pandemic, one story I saw anyway was that, okay, we had the Great Recession, and that was a huge setback for this cohort of, I think, millennials still, hitting the job market, not getting great jobs, not feeling secure if they had a college education, lots of debt without the jobs to pay for it. and that was going to be a setback for the decision to have kids. Is that part of what's going on here, do you think?
Yes, certainly. Economic impact is a really big one. And the decision to not have children or to substantially delay having children has economic impact as well, because currently we are below replacement rates with our birth rate, which means that more people are dying than being born. And that has an impact on Social Security payments, something that economists call the age dependency ratio. But, you know, we can also have immigration as a balancing factor. So a lower birth rate does not necessarily mean doom and gloom, but it is certainly an indicator of people looking at the economy and the future in a different way.
For if you go back a couple few generations, the idea of it being a decision to have kids might sound kind of like an alien concept. Can you talk about how times have changed in that way that we think of having kids more and more as a yes or no decision, as opposed to an expectation that just about everybody's going to have kids?
Yes, and I am uniquely qualified to answer this question, because in 1975, my mother, Dr. Elizabeth Whelan, who is an epidemiologist, wrote a book called A Baby Maybe, A Guide to Making the Most Fateful Decision of Your Life. And it was a bestseller. It sold more than 1 million copies, because this was really the first generation of women who could choose whether they wanted to pursue a career or whether they wanted to be moms or to do both. And my mother and father, in fact, were trying to decide whether or not to have a baby. And in the course of doing the interviews for that book, my mother decided to have me. So I, in fact, am the baby maybe. And so this whole decision about whether or not to have a child is one that is very personal, but really going back not too far, this was not something that people were choosing in the way they are now. So it's a historical change.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Sierra is with us in Wautoma. Sierra, hi.
Hi there. Hi. I am a full-time working mom, and I'm in nurse practitioner school, and my fiance works full-time. And the reason we're postponing having any more kids is because of the lack of childcare. There's only about 3 licensed daycare providers in our area, and there's wait lists for years. So that's one thing that's definitely keeping us from having any more younger ones that need full-time daycare.
Wow. Sierra, have you thought about moving to another area? I don't know if there's a magical place in the country where there's tons and tons of childcare, but are you thinking of relocating to a spot to where you could find childcare?
That would make it even harder. My fiance works second shift, so I have to work first shift and everything else. So it's kind of just me when he's working. So I have to make sure I have, you know, stable childcare for. And then his family is definitely really helpful when it comes to if I have to work, you know, extra overtime or things like that.
Interesting. Sierra, thank you so much for sharing that story. And Sierra, Christine, I'm guessing not alone. That concern about where am I going to find childcare?
Absolutely. Childcare is a huge issue. It is very expensive and it is hard to find good, reliable childcare. And, you know, yet the economics of childcare are quite difficult as well, because from the childcare provider's perspective, they feel that they are not getting paid nearly enough. And so there isn't the incentive to go into the childcare industry. Yet if we pay childcare folks more, then who is going to foot the bill? Because parents are already scraping to make ends meet to pay for this childcare. So other countries have government subsidies for childcare, and that may be something that the United States looks at in the future. And I do think that would have an impact on birth rates as well.
Thanks again for that call, Sierra. And Christine, I should throw into the mix now, government policy here. I know a lot of people compare things like family leave policy between the United States and, say, a lot of Western Europe. What kind of things do you look at there in terms of how that affects that decision to have a kid or not?
Yeah, we're the only developed nation in the world that does not have a full federal paid family leave program. Right now, if you work at a company with fewer than 50 employees, you do not have to necessarily get any leave whatsoever. And it's not necessarily paid leave for many folks. It's just some job security, but only for 12 weeks. So these are really difficult. These are difficult economic conditions into which to have a child for many people. And this is something that politicians talk about a lot. Can we add incentives, either incentives in terms of childcare or really financial and tax incentives to have more children? And is that a good thing for our country? Or do we want to open up the gates for immigration and invite other people into the country rather than from other countries, rather than having more children of our own?
We're picking up the conversation with Christine Whelan, clinical professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison. We're talking about the ongoing decline in the U.S. birth rate, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you made a decision? Are you making the decision these days about when and if to have kids and how many? What are the factors weighing for or against that right now for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Rich is with us in Burlington. Rich, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, with the abortion being legalized since 1973, and last count I saw there was about 62 million abortions in our country, somewhere around the rate of 1.1 million abortions a year. With the termination of that many children, how is that affecting the birth rate in our country? And do you see that as a good thing, or how do you see that?
Thanks for that call, Rich. I pulled up some CDC numbers here. A little over 600,000 in the most recent year they've got up for 2018. And there had been declines from 2011 to 2018. Christine, throwing that out there, does the abortion rate in the U.S. have a big impact on the overall birth rate?
Yeah, so abortion rates have been declining. Really, I think what we are seeing is an increase in contraceptive use among young people, especially, and we see childbearing as a choice that people are making much more intentionally and at older ages. You know, the only age group where we see the birth rate increasing is women in their mid to late 40s. I mean, these are the women who are probably using in vitro fertilization and other assisted reproductive technologies to have children, and very actively working toward it. So for the most part, we really see having a child not as an outcome of unprotected sex, but as a choice to bring new life into the world. And I think there's really some wonderful optimism and hope associated with that.
Thanks for the call, Rich, at 800-642-1234. We'll bring on Maria now, calling from Maquonago. Maria, hi.
Yes, hello. So no one's mentioned the fact that fertility and sperm counts have gone down drastically, and no one knows quite. There's a brand new book out called Countdown, that sperm counts have dropped about 50% in the last 50 years. And so there's the questions about whether there's exposures in our environment, plastics and things have affecting our endocrine systems and so affecting fertility. So that hasn't been mentioned yet today.
Maria, thanks for the call. And Christine, I know I've seen headlines along those things, and I'll admit I haven't dug deeply. Is that something you've had your eye on?
Yeah, so I've been following this research. It's very interesting. It does not explain the large-scale declines in the birth rate that we have seen over the last decades, but it is an interesting thing to watch. When there are people who have issues trying to conceive, we do see more and more people heading toward this assisted reproductive technology world, and that in part is because the technology is there in a way that it wasn't two generations ago, and potentially that could be because more people are having challenges having kids. However, all of that said, that does not explain the large decline in the birth rate. Really, these are big trends over time. And while everybody's decision is unique and individual, there are big factors like economics, like childcare, like the role of women and the role of caregivers and who is going to be in that role and whether that role is something that is valued in our society. These are these big seismic shifts that are bigger probably than the biological changes that may certainly be happening, but that people then are choosing to use technology to fix.
Thanks for the question, Maria. We're talking to Christine Whelan from UW-Madison, looking at declining birth rates in the United States over the last 7 or so years. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Frank is with us, driving near Merrill. Frank, hi.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear. What's up, Frank?
Well, I just wanted to say my son, who's about 33, just announced his wife is pregnant for the first child, which is, we're very excited about. But I jokingly asked if he was getting some parental leave, and I was surprised that the answer is yes. His company's giving him 6 weeks because he works for a major pharmaceutical company, but the irony is she's a physical therapist, and she gets no paid time off. So I just thought in 2018, we were in Europe, in Amsterdam, or in Germany, and there was a husband there in a coffee shop that said that he gets 6 months off. Him and his wife got 6 months off of pregnancy.
Frank, thanks a lot for sharing that story. Congratulations to your family, by the way. And Christine, the dad getting family leave here, is that getting to be more common?
It is, yes. And the wonderful part is that we are calling it family leave, not maternity leave, and the language really matters here. So yes, there are more and more large companies that are offering this leave. Now, there is the sort of social challenge that some men are considered not so serious about their job or their career path if they take this leave. And so we still have some work to do in terms of encouraging managers and others to really respect this leave as something that is good and a good investment in the future. But in this particular caller's story, you know, this is really tough. So the woman who's working as a physical therapist gets no paid time off. And that is an all too common reality for so many mothers. So we, you know, as I said, we are the only really developed nation that does not have a paid family leave system. And you can take it from both sides. You know, that there are, it would be very good for us to have some federally subsidized paid family leave. At the same time, that, you know, who's going to pay for it? And if you mandate it for small businesses, are some small businesses going to be unable to keep the doors open? So these are complex economic issues.
Thanks for that call, Frank. Hannah joins us next in Viroqua. Hannah, hello.
Hi. My comment was just that the IPCC report, which was a 2018 climate report, definitely impacted my decision to not have more than one child. And
Hannah, can I ask before you sign off, was it a fear of what the world's going to look like for your kids or worry about the environmental impact of having more kids or a little of both?
A little of both.
Hannah, thanks a lot for the call. This isn't the first time I've heard this, Christine, from people. We've talked to a couple of guests over the years who've said they held off on kids or decided not to because of climate change.
You know, this is something that I think we have to take really seriously. And it is, it's a big issue. The amount of resources that an affluent child will use in the course of his or her lifetime is just enormous. And so if you are worried about the impact on the environment, then certainly, you know, having fewer children will have less of an environmental footprint and impact. You know, at the same time, then you may worry about what world you are going to leave to your children and whether they will have a less bright future than you are having because of the decline in the environmental world around us. You know, this is potentially why we may not see a baby boom after the pandemic. You know, births tend to kind of dip after economic crises and wars during those tough times, and then they tend to come back. So during births dropped sharply during the Great Depression and the stock market crash, but then it picked up afterwards, and then we had the baby boom. But we did not see a similar baby boom after the Great Recession in 2008, even though the economy improved. And I'm not sure we're going to see a post-pandemic baby boom either. And those global environmental concerns certainly may be part of the reason.
Christine, I want to have a whole conversation about this sometime, but just real quick, we've got an economy based on a growing population and lots of Western countries and others seeing a declining population. Do we need to start rethinking about how our economy works to account for this change?
Yes. So one way to deal with what we call the age dependency ratio is to invite and open open our borders to allow more immigration. And that is something that I think a lot of people are talking about. So we can think about that. Certainly other people are thinking about economic changes in terms of robotics and artificial intelligence and whether we need fewer humans and more robots. There are all sorts of ways to approach these questions, but it's really good to think about them and talk about them right now.
Christine, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Christine Whelan is a clinical professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison. She's also founding director of the Money, Relationships, and Equality Initiative and the author of books including Finding Your Purpose. She joined us to talk about the ongoing decline in birth rates in the U.S.